Welcome to episode 1029. It's Monday, May 4th, and you're listening to the Geek at Geek News Central. This show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com and listeners like you. There are brand new discount codes by GoDaddy, so listen up. All my GoDaddy specials can be found at GeekNewsCentral.com/GoDaddy. Start supporting this show today by becoming a GNC Insider at GeekNewsCentral.com/Insider. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Tonight, we're going to share just a little bit about standing by one's principles. Plus, we're going to talk about a lot of tech. Got some news to share with you. Got a great show lined up for you. You know what comes next. Strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go-no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
5.
Button, who's got the button?
4.
There is no cause for alarm.
3.
Everybody hold on to something.
2.
Just press the button.
1.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to Geek News Central. Of course, my name is Todd Cochran. I want to give a warm welcome to all the longtime viewers and listeners of this show. Of course, all of you that are part of our Ohana. Welcome to Geek News Central. Got a great show lined up for y'all tonight. Hey, I tell you, it's been kind of, I guess for better, he's coming off the weekend. It's been a typical Monday around here. I'm glad to be just kind of hanging out with all of you for the next hour and a half. I really am. So look forward to sharing a bunch of information today. For those of you brand new to the show, I want to welcome you to Geek News Central. We're going to spend a little time at the beginning of the show just kind of chit-chatting. And then we're going to get into the tech stuff that I've got lined up today. That's kind of how the format of the show goes. It's the way it's been from the beginning. But now that you're here, we definitely want to make sure that you get engaged with the show. And to do so, really, to stay abreast of what's happening, is just need to go over to geekandcentral.com and click on that subscribe button. Be done with it. Get subscribed to the show. That way, it'll be in your phone. And you'll be able to take me wherever you go. That kind of sounds kind of weird, right? But anyway, on iTunes or via Android, definitely grab the show via your favorite pod catcher. If you do not have any Android app already, all you got to do if you're an Android listener is just come over here and click on the subscribe on Android link. And that's going to take you to our subscribe by on Android.com website. And what that's going to do is if you don't have a one-click podcatcher or application podcast application already, we're going to give you an opportunity to grab one. And then wherever you see the subscribe on Android link anywhere, you can one-click subscribe from that point forward once you've got that app loaded. And that's something my team has brought to the podcasting space, and we're really excited to be able to be talking about it. But anyway, further down the page, you'll find a link to the newsletter. Click on that. Get subscribed to the newsletter. That's going to ensure that you are getting the show notes. Basically, I deliver an email to each of you immediately following the show that's on the newsletter. And it contains everything I'm going to talk about in the show today. All the links, essentially a replica of the blog post. You can always come over to the website and grab it if you want. But we make it easy for you. We drop it in your inbox. It's available to you every Tuesday and Friday morning. Of course, you can reach me on Twitter at Geek News. And you can email me here directly at the show at geeknews@gmail.com. That's kind of the best way to do it. Follow on Google Plus or Facebook, of course. Just search my name, Todd Cochran. You'll find me. Don't worry. All over the place, and I'm where you're at. So come out, hang out together, share information, share links, share information, cool stories, stuff. And it doesn't even have to be tech-related. Let's just kind of have fun as a community together. And if you do drop me an email, please tell me who you are, where you listen from, that so that we get the 411 on you, because the most important thing for me is to know each of the Ohana members here. That's a lofty task. But if you ever never touch base with us, please consider doing so. I got some email to cover at the end of the show today, so get into that when we get there, all right? Okay, and of course, I want to thank a longtime sponsor, GoDaddy.com. GoDaddy's been here really just almost from the beginning. And as I told you guys in the last show, we've done some code change up. So we want to make you aware of those new codes and those new offers. So all that information is over at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. And all these offers come with essentially a terms. We want you to take a look at the terms when you get over to the GoDaddy website. All you got to do is click on the link. There's a 30% off code. There's a 99cent.com. That includes, I think, a little bit of additional money for ICANN registration fees. There's a dollar a month economy hosting with a free domain as well by using the promo code on the website. And you can get a domain, website builder, Microsoft Outlook email address for our website builder product for $1 a month. So the codes all have changed. They now start with CJC, then like GNC 30, CJC GNC 99, CJC GNC GOT, CJC GNC 1HS. And that's, of course, for $1 a month economy hosting. So definitely grab those codes. Do with it what you can. Mix and match deals. Go over there and pick up some products and services. We want you to use the codes. And definitely appreciate your ongoing support here. Of course, I want to thank GoDaddy for being a longtime sponsor as well. But definitely get over to the website again, geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy for all those promo codes. And for those of you watching, I'll leave the link up on the website for just a few seconds. Of course, I want to thank all the Ohana that are all, you know, basically continue to support the show financially by becoming an insider. And we'll be recognizing insiders here in a couple of shows on their contributions to the podcast. I want to talk just a little bit tonight. And it says, you know, I've kind of got like things going on. And if you noticed last show, we talked a little bit on a bit of a theme at the beginning of the show. And I want to do that from time to time. I don't want to make this a regular occurrence. But one thing I find is, as a business person, one of the challenges I have is often, I guess for a better word, keeping my mouth shut. And I do it, I have to sometimes interject when sometimes probably I shouldn't. And it's oftentimes because it's based upon what I've learned, what I've heard, what I've been told. Podcasters and content creators sharing stories with me. And I think it's important as we're online and as we're doing things as a, you know, as a community, and as you're on Facebook and you're on Twitter, and that we all stand up for the principles that we believe in. And it doesn't have to be like this, you know, jump up and down screaming on top of a soapbox like I do sometimes on the show, but it just has to be in line, honest, and very forthright. And I've tried to do that over the years. And oftentimes, I've seen individuals and groups maybe adjust their principles for the lure of money, connections, and it's really sometimes to me just a little concerning. I think that as we're going through life, you know, I always try to do this view that I try to look at the big picture as big as possible. And you guys are in my sphere of influence, and I hope I'm part of your sphere of influence as you guys send me information back to me and I share with you kind of the stuff that I believe in. And when it comes to the new media space, been with this thing from the beginning, and I have a lot of, and I'm probably one of the old guys, I guess is what you would say at this point. I don't think there are very many people creating content, in maybe within a few months of me, but there's not a lot that were around at the beginning that are still here now. There's, again, some, you know, some great shows out there. My tech show came on, a whole bunch of the TPN folks were real early. There was even some comedy shows real early, but I've seen a lot of stuff come and go. And with that length of period being in the space, a day doesn't go by that I get a call from a content creator or maybe associated business or someone we even compete with, and we'll talk. And what I find is that so long as I stay true to my principles, that everything seems to kind of work out in the end. And as you guys are on the internet, it's real easy to see the lure or something or chase something that may make you shift. And I'm not saying any of you are doing this, but I have a, you know, it's almost the point where I have to, I'm such a strong personality. I grew up, you guys all know this, you know, I grew up in the country. I believe in working hard. I believe in fairness and honesty and, you know, and really being able to call a spade a spade. And that's kind of what it boils down to sometimes is that key phrase there, being able to just call it the way it is and say it the way it is. And that isn't always super popular. And so there's a balance that one has to go through in while not giving up his principles, while at the same time not making a complete you know, donkey of oneself. I guess that's the best way to say it. And, you know, and you guys are saying, what the heck's driving this conversation? I think what it really boils down to is oftentimes I see things and I just cringe. And I just know what has driven the commentary. And I'm pretty thick-skinned. I've been around the block a few times. You know, and been having done, you know, 24 years as an active duty sailor, you get pretty thick skin. You know, you're willing to take and give, and I shouldn't say abuse, but you're willing to, you know, you can dish it out and you can put things on the line. And that's not even, maybe wasn't even the right word, but, and, you know, and it may be to a detriment to me at some point, and maybe to some of you too. But I think it's important to, as we live in this online world, where many times people have no idea really face-to-face who you are, that you stick to those, you know, some of the guiding principles you have to not be a different person online than you are in person. And I think that's really a big, big goal for everybody. Because people will be a tendency to be reserved, will hold some stuff back from time to time, as we probably should. But at the same time, I think as long as you stick to your core principles and you stand up for those, I think it's that you do that and you're important. And make sure that you, if, especially if it's business related, you're trying to protect your space. You know, really, I think it's incredibly important. And I guess I'm just so passionate about the space that sometimes I come across the wrong way. So if you're listening and you've come across the wrong way, if you've come across things I've said the wrong way, just understand that there's sometimes a lot more information that maybe you don't know that I'd like to share but can't. And that's why I've always said that at some point down the line, it's going to make an incredible book. But I don't know at what point I'll be able to write that book, to be honest with you. I really don't. But I'm going to love telling the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey would say, at some point in the future. Anyway, I have went on here long enough about standing up for one's principles, but I think it's important. Okay, so let me go ahead and move on. I learned a little bit on this past week. I know I told you I did the streaming job, and it went really well. The video went good. But man, the audio kicked my butt. And the number one rule on any type of live streaming thing is they'll forgive you for the video, but they won't for the audio. And what could go wrong did go wrong with the audio. I had it all patched in. Everything was good. I had a wireless remote off the PA system. But someone just prior to the ceremony did a quarter turn to the right on levels, and it was an area I couldn't get to. Oh, my God. I about flipped a wig. And but I learned something very, very valuable from that event. Don't ever count, ever, 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 on someone else's gear. Always wire people up with your own stuff, even if it's a secondary connection. And I'm going to be probably spend 2 or 3 days cleaning that audio up. It'll be worth it, and it's a good lesson because I'll never make the mistake again. But you can teach old dogs new tricks, folks. Hey, as I did say at the beginning, I want to thank all of you that are supporting us as an insider. We do have a short-term goal to raise about $1,500 this month. And if you want to make a direct contribution, you can do so on the Insider page at geeknewscenter.com/insider. Of course, you can help us out by just becoming a a $5, $10, $15, or $20 a month or $25 a month a contributor. Just come in and at any level that you want. But if you have considered doing a one-time donation show, this would be a great month to do that. Also, we got some emails on products you hate versus products you love. So we'll be talking about it at the end of the show. So if you have a product that you love or product that you hate, let me make sure you tell me. So we'll share it with the audience. I think that's a good way to keep us all informed and looking out in each other's best interests. And finally, Jason Howell of Twit was on the New Media Show this past Saturday versus our other guests we thought we were going to have on board. But Jason was fantastic. Had a great time with him for about an hour. And Rob and I chit-chatted about other stuff. But anyway, let me... I shouldn't have left that up there so long. My apologies. But let me bring up a couple of things before I get into the full tech stack tonight. And just as a reminder for those of you that are listening, lots of stuff going on at GNC. ProGear.guru is a great site to go to for finding content about the gear that the content creators use. Health Tech Weekly with Jamie Davis. And he's got lots of great interviews. We've got The Gadget Professor with Mr. Don Bain at thegadgetprofessor.com. We've got ElderDivide.com with Todd Ani, and he's, of course, taking care of our elderly folks, narrowing the gap between you and technology, technology for the 50-plus boomers and seniors crowd. And, of course, a show Rob and I do with the New Media Show. And, of course, then Langley with the Robot Underpants. And Langley just popped past episode 200 on his show. So lots of great shows. Lots of great stuff to review here at Geek News Central and in the associated shows, part of our team. All right, so let me go ahead and switch over. I got some cool stuff in the tech stack tonight. Some fun stuff to talk about. And I'm going to go ahead and... Oh, Dave, you got your Apple Watch gold-plated? Instead of spending the big money, you can send it off. There's a company that will do it for you. They will... Watch Plate charges a $399 flat fee for gold plating an Apple Watch, a watch band, or both. Shipping is free anywhere in the world. Plating can be done either yellow or rose gold. And Watch Plate states that it uses only 24 karat gold in the process. And so anyway, the company will replate the watch if needed for $199. But this is a way to get your Apple Watch gold plated. You know, that sucker costs so much. Please, we really don't need to go the additional level, but that is an option for you at WatchPlate. Okay, so that was an ad. That was an article that was up on GNC by Sean. He did a great job on that article. All right, switching over here. Oh, I love this, and this is okay. So, can I say this? Let me think about this for a second. All right. There was a time, many years ago, that when I was flying, we had a microwave in the airplane. And when the microwave would run, we'd be on the radio or be on ICS, or and we would hear the woo of the microwave. It would... That frequency that it run at, and that magnetron back there would, in the back of the aircraft would, you know, there wasn't a lot of, how should we say it, this was like a microwave you'd buy off the, you know, the shelf at Kmart. It was nothing fancy. It was just something where we warmed our food up, and it would always drive us crazy. Or who's microwaving their food, right? Well, it leads me up to the story at hand. Astronomy mystery solved. Now, an Australian PhD student has cracked an international mystery that had some of the best minds in astrophysics stumped. Working at the Parkes Radio Telescope in NSW, Emily Petrov had identified the source of the mysterious radio burst. Mysterious radio burst of terrestrial origin that mimic signals from outside her own galaxy. The strange radio signals being detected on Earth, known as Petrons, P-E-R-Y-T-O-N-S, I probably just said that wrong, are very similar in frequency and duration to deep space signals that some astronomers thought could be caused by a neutron star becoming black holes. However, Ms. Petrov and her colleagues identified a far more mundane source of perotrons, a microwave oven used by astronomers to heat up their pot noodles. Now, the microwaves apparently were running from like 2.3 to 2.5 gigahertz, but they were getting this signal at 1.4 gigahertz, which is, you know, if you know anything about basically how RF signals work, sometimes you have a doubling effect. So a 2.5 signal might show up at 1.25, and 2.5 might show up, harmonic might show up at 5 gigs. Now, a 1.4 gigs really did not fall into the harmonic range of a microwave. But it appears that a little thing that happens to all of us, you're looking inside the microwave and you're watching your food and you say, oh, it's hot enough. And what do? You open the door, right? You don't shut it off. You just open the door, and what happens? The microwave shuts off. Well, what happens is that as that magnetron is collapsing, it's just, you know, it's stopping its radiation. It creates a harmonic spike at 1.4 gigahertz. So this very low burst that they were scratching their heads about was just the microwave. And I saw this and I'm thinking to myself, oh man, if I would have only known, if we'd only known. Oh, you know, sometimes stuff is right in front of our face. So, yes, she's identified the source of the mysterious radio burst by the very leaky, noisy microwave. So, and specifically the opening of a microwave oven door. It cracks me up. It really, really does. But anyway, is this the true fact, or is this just something they found to come up with a cover story? That is the question. Also, NASA at the same time is really worried about the brains of scientists and of NASA. I'm not scientists. The brains of astronauts on deep space missions. Now, mice that have been zapped with the cosmic rays can incur brain damage, suggesting the astronauts may have mental performance issues and could suffer over time on deep space missions to Mars. So there's now real cause for concern that cosmic rays could lead to cognitive deficiencies, and this effect is likely to occur in humans as well as rodents. So they're going to have to figure this out and what they're going to do. I don't know. This is a big, big problem. So they're going to have to figure out a way to shield scientists on these long, or astronauts on these long, long space missions. Earlier, either today or yesterday, Microsoft, they were, you know, rah-rah on Windows 10. And the new Windows 10 update is going to have a very cool new feature. Patch Tuesday is essentially going to be gone. That's no longer going to be the case. The operating system is going to be smart enough to basically pull on demand and get pushed to it on demand updates from Microsoft to essentially stay updated all the time. And Microsoft was kind of poo-pooing the folks at Android by saying, this is what they said, one of their muckety-mucks over there said, this level of commitment and support is far different than Android, for example, where Google refuses to take responsibility for updating their customers' devices, leaving end users and businesses increasingly exposed every day by the devices they use. Now, to a certain extent, some of that is true. Android will come out with an update. It'll be many, many months before those on a Samsung device or, you know, will not get the update. But the folks over at AndroidCentral.com said that, no, not necessarily. Most folks, at least from the app standpoint, 93% of folks are on the latest version. So I think while that's true from an app standpoint, the question is the operating system really at that update rate? And it's probably not. But so anyway, Microsoft in one hand was right, and in the other hand, the Android folks were kind of right too. But, you know, I think we all know that oftentimes the biggest hacks come from the operating system itself. So I think the game plan Microsoft has planned here for Windows 10, which I think is going to be a big game changer across the board, and really the breadth of what they're going to do is a big one. So we'll see what happens when Windows 10 pops on the scene. In more nefarious news, Apple, it's being reported that the DOJ, and this is allegedly, the DOJ is investigating Apple for conspiring with major record labels to get them to kill off Spotify's free tier in an effort to better promote its own Beats music service, which has no free tier. Now, one of our Akamai longtime listeners basically sent me a Facebook post, and he said, Todd, it's too bad that Apple no longer can compete with good products, but now has to, you know, use a hardball tactics to try to compete. So it's being reported that Apple's been using its considerable power in the music space to stop the music labels from renewing Spotify's license to stream music through its free tier. Spotify currently has 60 million listeners. Only 15 million of them are paid users. Getting the music labels to kill freemium tiers from Spotify and others could put Apple in prime position to grab a large swath of the new users when it launches its own streaming service, which is widely expected to feature a considerable amount of exclusive content. All the way up to Tim Cook, these guys are cutthroat, one music industry source said. Sources also indicated Apple offered to pay YouTube's music license fee to Universal Music Group if the label stopped allowing its songs on YouTube. So they were going to pay off the group to stop them from being on YouTube. Apple seemingly trying to clear a path before its streaming service launches, again, which is expected to debut at WWDC in June. If Apple convinces labels to stop licensing premium services from Spotify and YouTube, it could take out a significant portion of the business from its two largest music competitors. So this is antitrust stuff, folks. This is serious, serious business. If it's proven true, it could be very, very bad for Apple. Now, with that, if you are a free user at Pandora, at Spotify, wherever you get your live music streaming stuff from, and I hope that you're listening to podcasts 24/7 and not listening to any of that stuff, but I'm a realist and know where you're at, maybe it's time to throw Spotify a subscription for a year and support them financially in order to, you know, basically thumb your nose here at Apple if you feel like doing so. But this could turn out to be crazy, insanely bad for Apple. So there is, I want to switch gears just a little bit. The FF did seem today to side with the USA Freedom Act. In fact, the FF just endorsed the USA Freedom Act. I'm slightly disappointed with the EFF over this. And a bill that would extend Section 215 of the Patriot Act until 2019, extending the government's surveillance authority for a long time. At the same time, EFS is calling to end Section 215 of the Patriot Act. So they say they're going to endorse the USA Freedom Act. At the same time, they want to Section 215 of the Patriot Act to be removed. This year's USA Freedom Act is a significantly watered-down version of last year's bill, which didn't go far enough to limit mass surveillance. Now EFS is throwing their weight behind a bill that would do little, if anything, to prevent bulk collection on American citizens. They've thrown real privacy activists under the bus, according to this article on Reddit, just so they can get a meaningless reform bill passed and claim a PR victory. So, this is interesting. Now, I think what's going on here is EFF is basically pinching their nose and says it stinks so long as we get rid of 215. You know, it's that compromise I was talking about on the last show. At what level do we need to be at, right? It's that at one point you want the government to make sure that we're safe. And the other side, you don't want them snooping around too much. It's that balancing act. And I don't know if the EFF is trying to teeter-totter here and balance between the lines, but it's an interesting move by them. So we'll see. We'll see where this leads. But anyway, I have a link in the show notes for you to read on the EFF statement on this, along with the counter argument on the Reddit website. I saw a topic today we haven't talked about in a while. Are you ready? Are you really ready? Those of you that have been here for a while, remember Prenda? In the entertainment we've got out of the Prenda case, the Ninth Circuit judges have ripped into the Prenda law copyright trolling scheme. It's been more than 2 years since a copyright trolling firm called Prenda Law began to unravel after a disastrous hearing. I think we'll all remember that. In the courtroom of U.S. District Court Judge Otis Wright, which led to insane sanctions and referrals to criminal investigators. So there was an hour-long oral argument held this morning in the Circuit of Appeals. And basically, the Pacinda courthouse suggests that things aren't looking too good for Team Prenda. And so anyway, they had none of the principals were there, just the attorney. And so this attorney said that the trio of attorneys were denied due process by the judge, who punished them for invoking Fifth Amendment rights. And of course, Judge Wright made accusations of fraud and forgery at one point, threatening incarceration as possible sanction. By doing so, he says the judge initiated an indirect criminal contempt proceeding that warranted additional protections. He says the entire proceeding was tainted. This is the lawyer that's trying to get the appeal to go through. The entire proceeding was tainted, Volker said. Mark Lutz, the CEO of Ingenuity 3, was not allowed to testify. As soon as they asserted their fifth... Okay, now listen to this. The entire process was tainted. Mark Lutz, the CEO of Ingenuity 13, was not allowed to testify. As soon as they asserted their Fifth Amendment rights, the judge stopped the proceedings. Okay, so you, those of you that aren't aware, let's just think about this for a second. You're in a court of law, and the judge is going to ask you a question, and you say, I assert my Fifth Amendment right to not, for, you know, not self-incrimination, blah, 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 that the whole spiel that they always read. And you're like, okay, you don't want to talk? Fine, get the heck out of here. We're done. And they complained that they weren't allowed to testify. Well, by claiming the fifth, they obviously weren't going to testify. So the U.S. Circuit Court judge, Richard Tailman, said, sure he can. He can draw adverse inferences. The district court was trying to gather facts. Your clients didn't appear for the first hearing. They claimed the fifth. He says, explain to me in simple English how this operation worked from the beginning, said U.S. District Court Judge Harry Pergerson. How did they make their money? Who ran this operation? Want to hear this? Okay, rerun. The attorney says, I don't know. I don't know who ran this. You don't know anything, do you? The judge said. I know Mr. Lutz was the CEO and he wasn't allowed to testify. He claimed the fifth. He claimed the fifth. So, of course, he wasn't able to testify. This is crazy. So, anyway, it goes on and on and on and on and on. And now, here's the thing that's blowing me away. So, they're talking about these proceedings, and the judge says, okay, so let's say the proceedings was tainted and that the sanctions should be thrown out entirely. Let's say you're right, said the judge. Do you want us to send this back and have this turn into a criminal contempt proceeding? And the lawyer said, absolutely, Your Honor. My clients want their day in court with procedural protections. And I guess from the reporter, the judge were taken back by this just a bit. They go on to say, I'm amazed that you are asking us to vacate the sanctions and send it back to for an independent prosecutor to pursue, said the judge, one of the judges. There are other cases across the country that such a prosecution could bring up as well, she noted. I'm giving you their message, said the attorney. They're the citizens of the United States, and that's what they would like. So, anyway, there was someone else on the other side. And he basically told the judges, you know, this has all been laid out for you. You understand what's going on. You understand the Ponzi scheme that's going on here. It's, you know, this strong army that's going on. And the person that was basically, you know, making sure that the appeal didn't get repealed was a lawyer by the name of Pietz, P-I-E-T-Z. He says, and this is in response to sending us back to the lower court. The guy says, hey, the court can do both. Award the maximum civil sanction in this trial and grant them their wish of additional criminal proceeding. So he tells the judges, keep the fine on to make them pay and send them back for criminal proceedings. Don't you just love this? This is like a soap opera that's, oh, this is a television made, this is an absolute made-for-TV story. The Prenda folks want to get themselves out of a bind. They need to go sell this story to Sony. Oh, man. Of course, the fight was this weekend. Yes, Pacquiao lost. And but everything I'm hearing from here in Hawaii, that just, I guess they kind of expected that to begin with. That's, of course, they wouldn't really say that. You know, that was kind of their way of, but hey, he lost the fight. And, you know, Mayweather, I'm not a big fan, of course, because of his illegal past. At all, but it was nice to see Pacquiao win. He did not, but they all walked away with big bank. But some judges basically have been out there protecting, even right up to the beginning of the fight. They were working with HBO and Showtime to essentially shut down any streaming stuff, and they had an injunction in place, a restraining order that even anyone remotely related to streaming could have been basically shut down. The FF is not real happy about this temporary restraining order. It says it smells. He says, as the FF points out, this de facto junction is like SOPA, allowing copyright holders to simply point at a site they don't like, claim they're bad, and basically order them off the internet by merely sending a copy of the restraining order. So they're very, very concerned about the level of this court order, and they feel that HBO and Showtime might. So, for example, if HBO or Showtime had sent this order to Twitter, it could have found to have violated a court order despite not even remotely being a party to the case. So the FF has weighed in on this one and said, hey, this court overreached itself and it essentially issued a SOPA-type ruling, which should be concerning. It tells you the power of Showtime and HBO. And a little more news here. Department of Justice apparently was the last to know about widespread stingray usage, say, secrecies, and they're vowing to look into it. And so apparently Department of Justice didn't know what the other hand was doing. Their law enforcement agencies across the United States and FBI and blah, blah, blah. So they're looking into it. And this is a pretty good article. And I think you all should read this one. It's in entirety. Just goes to show you a little bit of shell games that are happening. All right, if you're a Google Plus user, you know about Collection. Collections is starting to roll out. Its features are going to roll out to all its users over the next couple of days. And basically, if you've been uninitiated here, collections are basically curated sets of Google Plus posts. A user can create a new collection based on their interests, and then add posts to it using the share menu. Other users can then follow and share the collection to keep up to date with posts relevant to the topic. So this is going to be awesome. I'm going to be creating some collections and sharing them with you. And this is going to be fun. It really, really will. Might be a new way to do some show prep. There's a cute video about some kids looking at the watch. The Apple Watch. And the responses are classic. And one little girl summed it all up. She says, it's cool, but I really don't need it, Samira, age 9, said, but I really, really, really want it. So I think the kids' response are pretty much the same as adults. She says, I don't see YouTube. It's worthless, Sydney, age 7, said in the video. Another kid said it looked like a spy watch. But anyway, I'll save the rest of it for you to look up. doesn't bode well for Apple and the watch. If you are using any antivirus software on your computer, please don't use anything from China. Chinese antivirus vendor Qiho360 cheated on antivirus evaluation test. Three independent testing labs charged them with basically cheating. Now, think about this. Okay, so they basically substituted their detection engine with some other well-known malware services. They actually swapped it out with someone else's engine, claimed it as their own, put it through the test, got a good mark on it, then issued to its community and people that were using it a completely different product. Wow. So you guys know about Bitdefender, right? That's what they swapped out its malware detection engine with, was it with Bitdefender. And it's crazy. It really, really is. It just goes to show you how insanely bad some of the stuff coming out of China is from a software standpoint. Don't trust any of it. None. All right, Microsoft is delivering public preview of Office 2016 for Windows Desktop. So this is a public beta test, and the new Office 2016 preview is available for download. And I think this is just the software version. This is not the online version. So be aware of that. So anyway, if you want to check out 2016 or test it for your company, it is available for download. And there's still questions being asked on Microsoft Windows 10 revenue plans and how they're going to be supporting it. But basically, Microsoft is committed to keeping an upgraded device current for the supported lifetime of the device. So exactly what those words mean have really never been clear. But there are some new statements out of Redmond that may shed some light on the topic. Last week, Microsoft announced it would no longer recognize revenue from the Windows 10 consumer licenses when the devices were purchased So it will defer some of the revenue over several quarters, depending on the estimated supported lifetime of the device. So if they feel it's going to cost them $100 million or $100 billion to support over its lifetime, they'll write off $33 billion or million or whatever it's that number is per quarter to basically make sure they don't have too big of an earnings hit later. They're going to write it off. It's a pretty common practice. Also, there's a good article over on businesslife.com talking about the mission to save the internet by rewiring it from the name up. It's talk about getting rid of IP addresses like, basically the physical numbered address to get to every website on the internet. They're talking about using a named data network, shifting the focus more from numbered locations to the very names of data. Something like if you're looking for a Netflix movie or something like that, it could be you could get it from your neighbor versus getting it from Netflix's heavily trafficked centralized servers. And the name is an NDN packet, can be anything, an endpoint, a chunk of a movie, a book, command to turn on some lights, an internet, not of numbers, but if you will, of things. They've got some money, $16 million to kind of look at this over the next year. We'll see where this leads. This is a long, long, long ways away, but it is interesting in concept. Always find these pictorials that they're not necessarily tech pictorials, but this specific one is a photo set. It's basically down a deep hole, a photo tour of Australia's largest open pit gold mine, the Super Pit. And there's a bunch of pictures of this thing. So definitely check it out. I have a link up in the show notes for you to check out. All right. Switching gears here over to Forbes. No, NASA did not accidentally invent a warp drive. The naysayers are already out saying it didn't happen. There's a lot more to prove, which we all know. But, it's not stopping this writer from poo-pooing what the NASA scientists are saying. They're saying that this guy that at NASA that claims this stuff has made some outrageous claims in the past. So he may have a point, but yet time will tell as scientists get their hands on this thing. Some pretty cool pictures from the sun and some filaments that blew out the side of it. Just incredible. Some incredible images, and I'll have a link up in the show notes. You guys can watch the video. But I tell you, our sun is a pretty crazy animal in itself. All right, Star Wars fans no longer have to search their feelings to discover the truth. They can just Google it. The search engine and Lucasfilm movie franchise said money they have put information from the Star Wars universe into the Google Knowledge Graph, the first time for a fictional universe. The Knowledge Graph answers direct questions either typed on a computer or spoken into a mobile device. After typing, "Who is Luke's father?" for example, Google now presents the answer, Darth Vader, in a box that offers a short summary with clickable links for more information. So, of course, this is a tie-up was announced on what is known to fans as Star Wars Day. Today, May 4th. I didn't know. I am not a star. I'm sorry. I didn't know, but I do now. Okay. Well, I guess it's almost over for me. All right. Over on CNET, New York City mayor backs tech initiative with big bucks. New York City's mayor, Bill de Blasio, says he sees the tech industry as a great social equalizer, and he announces funding for new initiatives in broadband deployment and education, vowing up to $70 million being spent in New York City over 10 years to make broadband and universally available to 8.5 million New Yorkers. The funding is for de Blasio's One NYC initiative, a 10-year technology plan. So a key part of his agenda is closing the income gap between rich and poor in New York City. Good luck with that. But he basically says that today about 20% of New York lacks access to broadband at home. That number is even higher, 36% for low-income housing. Nationally, about 17% of households do not have broadband, according to a recent report from the FCC. So he plans to allocate $29 million in next year's budget for science, technology, engineering, and math programs at the City University of New York City, CUNY colleges. The funding will grow to $51 million in the following year. Well, how does that actually help wire up the rest of the underprivileged areas? Two different numbers there, Mr. Mayor. Doesn't really sound like you're going to be helping connect the non-connected. Apple reportedly working on a new Apple TV remote with a touchpad. So that's kind of curious. Could that be a gaming thing? Who knows? But still going to have two buttons and a touchpad. So we'll see what happens with that. Meerkat broadcasting app adds a Facebook connection. So if you want to stream Meerkat to Facebook, you can do so. And, you know, I was watching some of the Pacquiao fight with Periscope and Meerkat streams that were going on from the fight. I bet the HBO folks didn't think about that one. Okay, I know none of us are eating McDonald's, but you have to give them credit where's credit and due in coming up with a very interesting new package. They've invented a bag, a takeout bag, that transforms into a serving tray. It basically, you tear off the bottom and then you have the rest of it there. The question is, what do you do with your trash? I can see it now. All over the country, there's going to be these little serving trays everywhere. They're flying all over the place. Whereas if they would have just kept the bag the way it was, we would have been able to have something to put the trash in. Oh, man. You can't improve the food, but you're going to improve the bag. The Apple Watch has a hidden port that could make it way better. And this is a kind of a cool discovery. As the watch band comes off, there's a little port there. And there's some companies that are thinking that they're going to be able to build a battery, external battery, into a band to improve the life. Gotta hand it to the Apple folks on this one for basically putting a connector right there in the side of it. Pretty smart stuff. Didn't realize that that was the real deal. Let me have this link up. Let me show it to you guys. Very, 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 very cool. And for those of you that are listening, it's just you pop the band off and there's a little six-port plug there. So pretty smart stuff. All right, the FCC on why lawsuits won't beat net neutrality this time. Well, they're pretty, commissioner's making some pretty bold statements. He says, we got took down before because we really didn't make it a rule. We made it a kind of a directive. And this time it's, by imposing Title II, like requirements without actually coming out and saying those companies are Title II, before was the downfall. But now with assigning them Title II, they are essentially locked in. He says they may win in a few points, but he thinks that the rules will stay in place largely intact. Time will tell. All right, HBO. I didn't even know they did this. HBO is trying super hard to dislodge Game of Thrones' crown as the most pirated TV show of modern times. It recently launched HBO Now, a non-cable-based stream service, and today the company announced it would stop providing reviewers with DVDs containing episodes of its shows prior to the air dates. How do you get on that list? HBO will now give reviewers early access to these episodes via a secure streaming service. Now you can show more people in your household. The streaming policy starts this week with 3 new episodes of Veep, but it was spurned by a recent leak in April. 4 unaired Game of Thrones episodes found their way online. All of them reportedly linked via review DVD. And it's taken this long, I guess. They said this is something new that just started to happen, but someone is in trouble. Most of those DVDs contain like a watermark or something in the video. They can tell who did the actual leak. Facebook, and I haven't been following this very close. This is another story about internet.org. Facebook's internet.org has loosened the stranglehold on its free internet service in India and other countries. Now, and this is actually, I think, bad, now potentially any website can be accessed for free via the service as long as the site ditches HTTPS, JavaScript, and other things. You can't have any streaming video or anything like that. And people are kind of like, why? Why are they doing this? But anyway, internet.org is basically provides free access to poor people in India to get access to a portion of the internet via a mobile phone. And people are crying foul that this is really opens those people up to exploitation, not being able to have secure internet connections and, really being able to monitor where they go online. Banned content includes JavaScript, SVG images, WOFs, fonts, iframes, video, large images, flash files, and Java applets. Any voice IP file transfer, high volume photo sites will also be rejected. I'm sure that'll probably also assumedly be podcast. Okay. Interesting. So people are not happy about this. He says, though, there was an update. Zuckerberg has posted on Facebook to say HTTPS via internet.org is going to happen soon, but not currently. Well, that's a good announcement. A little more breakdown on how much money Comcast and Time Warner spend. I don't know if you care anymore, but Comcast's earnings report released today notes $99 million in transaction-related costs for its attempt to acquire Time Warner and to execute a related transaction with Charter. That's in addition to another $99 million quarter 4 2014, $77 million quarter 3 2014, and $44 million quarter 2014. So a grand total of $336 million. Comcast announced a proposed The costs are mainly for legal fees. Time Warner Cable reported more than $200 million in merger-related expenses. And, Comcast did not have to get out of a jail fee. So they didn't have to pay Time Warner Cable a breakage fee. You remember AT&T had to pay T-Mobile $3 billion plus another billion of spectrum rights after a failed merger in 2011. I just like that AT&T got screwed on that deal. But anyway, but also Comcast revealed today that it has more internet subscribers than cable subscribers. So that's huge. That's huge news. So broadband subscribers surpassed cable this quarter. As of the end of March, there were 22.4 million customers for each, with just a few more on the internet only. So cable cutters are really, it's huge. That's a big number. Pirate Bay is currently offline. Apparently something going on with an SSL certificate or maybe being taken down again. So be aware of that. Hey, big thing on May 6th, SpaceX is going to be doing their manned Dragon capsule. Gets its furl reel test on May 6th. They're going to do the escape test. So from the launch pad, they're going to essentially eject the manned space portion and see if they can make it work and get it on the ground safely. So it'll be a great video to watch. Again, May 6th, things are kicking off as early as 7 a.m. Eastern. So I may have to stay up late on that day. That's 2 days away. Now, what's wrong with these very, very smart people running for president? Carly Fiorina really should have remembered to register her domain name. But because she didn't, Carly Fiorina is now basically resolving to a site that talks about all the money and the people she laid off at Hewlett Packard. How can these folks not know to buy every iteration of their domain name? Oh boy, oh boy. All right, how many of you are trying to eat healthier? Did you know sweet potatoes aren't inherently healthier than white potatoes? I'll just have that in the show notes for you to look at. So if you've got someone in your household that's saying you got to eat sweet potatoes because they're healthier than white potatoes, not necessarily. And finally, a beauty tip. I always like to find this kind of stuff. I don't have to deal with it so much anymore because I don't have much hair left. The back of my head is actually almost a runway now. I do try to hide it, but you know, at some point it'll be a lost cause. But when I did have a full head of hair, I had a hard time. My hair was always really oily. And I did everything in the book to really get the oil out. Well, if you have really oily hair, Epsom salt. 1 tablespoon Epsom salt to a glass of water will wash that, stir it up, and use that as your shampoo. And it will not only will give you a soothing bath, settle your stomach, and or alleviate, you know, blockage. It's going to clean your battery. You can use it to wash your hair. So anyway, that's that's all the regular content tonight. Let me go ahead and load the email. And I got one from my mom. And this is about a service that she is going to stop utilizing. Let's see here. Let me wait for it to load here. I didn't have it. Okay, so. She says, hey, Todd, you may not want to share this on your show. Of course I'm going to share this on your show. It's not all a tech item, but I was inspired to put a pen to paper. After 2 bad experiences at fast food restaurants, and she goes on to say, don't regularly eat fast food, even though I love the drive-thru stuff, but occasionally I'm starving while on my work deliveries. I cannot drive through as my truck is too tall, so I have to go inside. I'll not name the brand. Well, I know one of them was McDonald's. She told me later. So this is all about sharing about the brand, right? This is about, she didn't tell me the other one, but it's all about telling the bad stories, right? We wanted people to know. She said, I will not name the brand. Sorry, Mom, I dimed you out. But at this one site in Michigan, she said, I had a hair in the tomato. I was already driving when I discovered this, and it's hard to drive and suppress the gag instinct. The other incident was in Indiana at a counter waiting for my order. I glanced down, and below the toe kick was black junk and a green penny. How long had that penny been there along with the greasy dirt? Make your own conclusions. Health department oversight? Lazy workers? Or did I just get a couple of bad sights? Has anyone noticed any of this? I'm swearing off fast food at this time. So she's actually, you know, like says, just once in a while going through and 2 kind of instances in a row within, you know, a short period of time. And she says, that's it. I'm done. Anybody else noticed your fast food restaurants going down in cleanliness? A few years ago, and this is actually a long time ago, maybe 10 years, I was at I can't even remember. It was one of the fast food chains, and I walked in, and I just kind of got really looking around, You know, sometimes you do that and you get to noticing stuff. And I had already placed my order, and I actually went up the counter and told the lady, cancel my order. I said, I can I get my money back? And of course they did. And the manager came up and said, what's wrong? I said, this place is a filthy pigsty. I said, I'm not eating here. And I left. Oftentimes we don't know what's behind the counter, what's back in the kitchen. Most of us, if we did, we probably wouldn't go eat there. But when you see stuff up front that looks bad, it's probably worse in the back of the restaurant. So anyway, that's a good/bad business practice from my mom. I've got an email from Bree. She says, hey, Todd. I think we talked about this on the last show, about the unmanned Russian spacecraft coming back. They did have an earthquake in Michigan, too, 4.0, if you heard. Big damage. I'm just joking. But anyway, that's going to wrap it up. So geeknews@gmail.com is a place where you can send your good, bad experiences. Let us know what you like, what you dislike. I took a little liberty here with Mom, but we want you guys to tell us where you had a bad experience. All right? And it's your opinion, so it's all good. It is not, no one getting in trouble. But everyone, thanks for being here. If you want to become an insider, we encourage you to do so at geeknewscentral.com/insider. Thanks for being here. Thanks for being part of the family. Hope you had a good time on this show. Maintain those principles online, folks. Everyone take care. We'll see you next time. Aloha.